The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about this proposal, because I think that's all it is thus far, but a proposal from some in France that screens be banned for children under the age of six. Now, I'm not quite sure how exactly they would go about enforcing this ban, but it's from medical experts in the country. Jen Hogan, the journalist and Irish Times columnist, is with me. Jen, should we take a stronger line in this country when it comes to screen time for under sixes?
It's a hard one. Like, when you look at what the study seems to be revealing, this idea that being exposed to screens is hindering and altering children's brain development, and it's irreparable. Everything that's any kind of damage to their intellectual ability, as it's described, is irreparable. You wonder, do we need to take it a little bit more seriously? And yet at the same time, I don't know how we would manage that practically. Like, because they literally talk about every type of screens. I thought perhaps they're just referencing phones or tablets or anything, which means a child is up close to it and not interacting with their surroundings. But no, they're even talking about telly. And
come on.
I mean, when you think about it, we all grew up watching far too much telly, exposed to Rainbow, Wanderly Wagon, Bosco and 40 coats. And I'd like to think it didn't do us too much harm if I...
Yeah, but I don't know. We probably don't have a control group, though. We needed another group of people who didn't watch 40 coats.
We do, and see how their ideas were shaped by it. But I don't know how, but as well as how you'd physically and practically implement this, and the idea, are we going to go around now and police parents and knock on doors and go, are you making sure you're... Yeah. Do you know where your 3 to 6 year old is?
those warnings when they're about, you know, cognitive development, they're the things that worry me a bit more than what they might see. Now, maybe that's kind of naive of me, but ours are still young enough that it's easy to have oversight. Mm. They're not at the stage where they're kind of, they can hide it from you. So that's all ahead of us. But when you hear experts talking about, you know, like the little dopamine receptors in their brains and everything getting activated, and you're kind of turning them into little addicts from a young age, I do get slightly terrified. But then there's another part of me that wonders whether there's just a moral panic about all of this, like there was with TV and with video games and other stuff.
I suppose, like, I'm a great believer in when we know better, we should do better. And so, like, I mean, even if you think over the chair, I was thinking back about this, going, even when I had my first child versus where I am with my seventh, like at the stage of pregnancy, my first time around, you were able to have a drink. And then research shows that you could have absolutely nothing. So by the time I was having the last one, you're having absolutely nothing, not even an irregular one glass of wine here and there. So if we're getting new research, which is coming through and telling us that this is not good for our children, it would be, or that there are actual, more than it's not good for them, that there's actually there's problems and implications in continuing to do so, you have to sit up and pay a little bit of attention. And I do think, look, we're seeing it further down the road, aren't we? We're seeing it with our teenagers, we're seeing it with our preteens, and I don't think there's a parent out there who doesn't wish that they could pull back screen time somewhat from their children. I think the hard thing this time is, it's not just about moderate access, it's about zero access. And I'd like to hope that it is a moral panic, and that there isn't, that it's just us getting kind of caught up in the same sort of thing, as they shouldn't be having sugar and they shouldn't be. Like, we all know what we shouldn't be doing. Like, we know, even if we do, if we know what we shouldn't be doing. But it's when you're told it's harmful, it's much harder to ignore. And I do worry that a study like this, and again, you can't just ignore it because it's inconvenient to consider what the fallout might be. I do worry that a study like this is going to heap guilt on parents, and particularly moms.
Yeah, because you have to remember why the screen time is happening in the first place. Now, listen, there's lazy parents out there. There always has been. There always will be. And we'll get texts in saying, you know, parents, do your parenting. Uh-huh. And listen, I'm sure there's parents who are taking the easy option. But a lot of the time, it's maybe your only opportunity to get the dinner on or to get jobs done around the house. And as you say, getting the dinner on and getting jobs done around the house, for all our advancement, it's still predominantly women I'm talking
about. It is still predominantly women, and it'll still be women who'll take this largely on board and fret about how much time their children are spending online. And the big change, I suppose, when we look at maybe the screens, it coincided also with another big change in our society, which is women returning to work. This is a great thing. I'm not in any way criticising. I work outside the home. It's not a thing that I'm criticising. But I don't know that we put the structures in place to support families properly. So, like, well, during the pandemic, we were more than happy to turn around and go, Sharon, screen's great. On you go. Spend as much time as you need, as long as you're not meeting with people and cutting off all our kids' access to friendships and in their activities in school and all those sorts of things. And when it suited us, we went along. And we kind of ignored the fact that we were encouraging children onto screens far too much because there was a pandemic and we had to deal with that emergency. But no one's kind of thought about the other side of it as we've come out. How do we try and get that time back? And there's an awful lot of parents will tell you that they're still trying to claw that time back because it became a very natural part of children's routine, where before perhaps they were only allowed online at weekends, it became very normal. And it is hard to claw it back. And it's hard when, because we all started to use our screens more, it's hard to claw it back. We've even the move to working from home. Is there any of us not guilty of sometimes, if you're working from home, letting your screens do the babysitting? Particularly, like, we're looking at another bank holiday weekend coming up. Some schools will have tagged on as part of their days over. You know, the way there's the discretionary days that they can add on at certain times, and one of those days might fall on the Tuesday, but parents aren't necessarily off work and they're perhaps trying to do that juggle. The screens will come into play then. We have begun to use screens as a babysitter, but sometimes it's a case of how else do you manage? Because you have a certain amount of leave and they have a certain amount of holidays and hard juggle.
And I'm sure there's kids and it's beautiful weather up and down the country today who are sitting inside looking at screens when they could be outside. Yeah. And that's a pity. At the same time, like, there's also kids who their whole access to their friends and to their social network is through screens because maybe they've got disability issues or mobility issues. Yeah. And I know a couple of kids in that category and their parents say, it's amazing. It's amazing how much the world has opened up to them through their PlayStation or whatever it happens to be. And it's never mentioned in the debates.
Never. We never have that discussion about the good side of it and the upside of it. And, you know, when it did reference, in fairness, even the educational stuff isn't good, which is a pity. You kind of think, oh, we can default to that. There's good stuff on there. But it does give some children that access to other people. Even when you see kids, sometimes you might be in a cafe or a restaurant and you're looking and you might see a parent hand a screen to a child.
Children in those places should have screens.
Well, it should be,
we should be banning them everywhere else, but in cafes and restaurants, children should not be allowed in unless they have
a
screen.
In the interest of us all enjoying our meal, maybe there's something there. But again, none of us know what's going on. Maybe it is to keep the peace. Maybe there are other things at play. So, you know, we could do with taking our judgy knickers off for a few minutes. There's loads of, obviously, positives. I think back even, like, my own young lad still loves doing the draw with me things where you're sitting there and maybe watching guys drawing and copying
those. My kids love that. The
That's
YouTube videos.
Still being artistic. I can't see how that's bad.
That is no different from you and I watching Don Conroy and drawing owls because he's doing it on Zig and Zag.
That might have been bad for us, though, if we were between age 3 and 6 ago.
Sorry. That's why our brains are wired wrong, Jen.
That's where we were going. We went wrong.
Jen Hogan, journalist and Irish Times columnist. Jen, thank you very, very much. Lots still to come on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.